So again, we say good afternoon to everyone. And it's good to be here. God's good, isn't he? Somebody say they're good all the time. That's true. We serve a God that's good even amidst the backdrop of a world that is not. And the Lord has sort of been leading me as of late concerning the condition of our world. It's really heavy on my heart, and I know it's heavy on the heart of the Lord. And we have a world that's going 180 degrees in opposition to what he has prescribed for his creatures. We were called to worship and to praise him. Isn't that true? That we have moved far from that in the generations that have transpired since we came on the scene. Amen. Our foreparents in the garden, of course, they fell into sin. And that sin passed condemnation down to everyone that has followed them, even to this present time. Amen?
Amen.
So what we want to do is, as a body of Christ, we want to trust the Lord. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
And let him know that we still love him. And that we're going to praise him and we're going to worship him until he calls us into his presence. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We love Jesus. You know, sometimes when, you know, a man of God steps into the pulpit, he feels inadequate to present what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
And sometimes you ask the Lord, what do you want me to preach this day as you are preparing up until that point? And I say to myself, sometimes it seems as if I'm preaching scriptures that I've preached before, and it seems that I've talked about things according to God's word,
mm-hmm,
that I revisited before.
Amen.
And the Lord says, that's good.
Amen.
I said, Lord, repetition is good. He said, that's correct. That's why I instituted the Lord's Supper.
Mm.
Because he knows that we are prone to forget the God that we love. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so it is no different with the preaching of God's word. There's sometimes a repetition that takes place, but the applications are always fresh and new.
Amen.
We repeat God's word, and the scriptures don't change, but the application of it to our lives are always fresh and new. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so God says, preach the word.
Amen.
In season and out. When there's an ear to hear it, and when there is an ear that desires not to hear, God's word must go forth. And so over the years, having taught for some 20 plus years, obviously there are a lot of lessons that have gone forth. And Brother Green can probably attest to the same. You don't keep up with, we don't keep up with, we just move forward. Maybe over 1,000 lessons, and having preached for almost 15, 16 years, hundreds of messages are going forth. But always proclaim, the word of God is always proclaimed to make known the Lord Jesus Christ to those who know him not and depart their sins.
Amen.
And to lift up those in the faith who know him. Isn't that true?
Amen.
So the word always goes forth with two meanings, two purposes. To reach the lost and build up the saved. Amen.
Amen.
And so I pray that as you sit under hearing God's word, that you know him as personal Savior. And if for whatever reason there should ever be anyone that sits under the hearing of the word, that at that particular time you can come to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Amen. And the work will have been accomplished, which God had before ordained before the foundation of the world. Amen. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. So we are not going to do anything differently today from any other day. We're going to preach the word.
Amen.
For those that have been prescribed to hear it. Isn't that true?
Amen.
God has prescribed that you would be here before the foundation of the world to hear what thus saith the Lord. So the message is always just for you. You didn't know that, did you? Before God created the world, he had foreordained that you would be sitting under the hearing of it today. And you should thank him for it. Because there are many who don't desire to hear God's word. And so that the God, so the fact that God has put in your heart to be here today, that's a blessing. Amen. It comes from the heart of God. And so as we look at God's word today, what he's given to me is a reflection on, as we look at, you know, things around us, as we look at our own lives, we realize that we all come from somewhere. Mm-hmm. And as we look at people who are involved in sin, you know, when we look at the TV, you see a lot of sin, don't we? And we have the same question. What's wrong with them? You ever see some of the shows on TV, and some of them have profanity and, you know, other things that we don't ascribe to as Christians. And we say, what's wrong with them? But you know, we need to say, what's wrong with them is what was wrong with us when we were in the world. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so we all come from somewhere.
Well,
it's just that the people that we see and we have problems with, they are now still where we came from. Amen. Isn't that true? And so we don't boast in it. Amen. There's no boasting in your deliverance,
Amen.
In my deliverance, in your deliverance,
Amen.
From darkness to light. If we're going to boast, we boast in the Lord. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And so much the more as we see the day approaching. And so I'm always excited when I think about the fact that God can bring a person, specifically myself, and you can make it personal, out of a dark past and bring them into a beautiful future, or prepare for them a beautiful future. That's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And we do have a beautiful future that lies before us. And I like to say this about us. If someone ever confronts you and they say, you Christians, you think you are perfect. Or you always try to do everything right. And our response can always be the same. We're not perfect. Amen. Let everyone know that you're not perfect. I let people know that I'm not perfect. My wife already knows, but somebody doesn't know, but I let them know I'm not perfect.
Yeah.
And what you say to the person that confronts you in that way, you say, no, I'm not perfect. Just forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. And so we have for a word today, if you're taking notes, is a sermon title. Not a dark past, but a bright future.
All right.
Amen. Not a dark past, but a bright future. And they have a subtitle. You already heard it. Not perfect, just forgiven. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. Only Jesus is perfect. We are not. Let us pray. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you our praise and honor and glory. Thank you for all blessings, great and small. And Father, we're thankful for a word to come forth today that it will speak to the hearts of those who sit under the hearing of it, that they may be once and again built up in the most holy faith. There's one in our midst who knows not Christ. Would you save them? And for those who are saved, would you build them up? Father, would you be glorified in all that we do and all that we say? Father, would you speak from heaven through an earthen vessel that we might be willing hearers to receive what you prepared for us even before the world began? And so, Father, once and again, as your word goes forth, would you take the earthen vessel of clay that stands before thy people, meet them in the weakness and frailness of human flesh, that once and again, by the preaching of your word, we might in a clear and fresh way see the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our time. We'll give you the praise. You're worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Not a dark past, but a bright future. That's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
And that we're not perfect, just forgive it.
Just forgive it.
Amen. Isn't that true?
I like that.
So I saw you do something.
I like that.
That Christians shouldn't do.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, don't use this as a scapegoat clause, man. You know what I mean? And go out and do something.
Right.
And then say, I'll just say, I'm just not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven.
Right.
No. But whenever anyone accuses you in any area of life concerning something that maybe a Christian wouldn't do or shouldn't do, because we all fall short.
Yeah, yes, we do.
You tell them, you're not perfect, just forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If you've been delivered from a dark past and you have past and you have a bright future, we have eternal life that lies before us. Amen. Isn't that true? Turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14 as a springboard, a text we've looked at many times. And as I said before, we're not preaching anything new. But there's always a fresh application for us because the Word of God is alive.
Yes,
no other book is like it. Most books you can read and you pretty much get a good understanding of it after going through it once, maybe twice. But each time you come to the Word of God, it speaks to your heart afresh. Because it is a living word. Amen. Even though it's a written word, it's a living word because it's by the living word who is Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. Are we there? This is powerful too. We need to know this. As the world is dark around us, we need to know and be secure that we have entered in the straight gate. Amen. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way. Notice two different entrances. Amen. Mm-hmm. One is straight and narrow, and one is wide and broad. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to what? Destruction. In time and eternity. If you don't know Jesus, you have entered at the straight gate. Amen. It will lead to your destruction in time and ultimately your eternal destruction for all eternity. And so it says, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. There are many who are on the broad road. You are on the broad road. We were on the broad road. Yeah. Amen. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. And we were tapped on the shoulder by the Holy Spirit. And we took a detour. Amen. But it was a good one.
All right.
Amen. A detour off the broad road is a good detour. Isn't that true? Amen. I know that's right. Usually detours are bad. You have to go all around a long way and all kinds of, you know, different turns and twists. But when you get off the broad way that's headed for eternal condemnation onto a narrow way, a narrow detour that will lead to eternal life, that's the best detour you could have ever made.
Amen.
I thank God for the detour to heaven. Amen. 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 A detour from hell to heaven. That's good, isn't it? Amen. Aren't you glad you turned off? Amen.
Amen.
Onto the road that leads to life. From the low road to the high road. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads into life. And look what it said. This is always powerful. This is an application you can use for those who are lost and those who are saved. And also for the saved in terms of once you become a Christian, you also have to walk an even straighter path.
Yeah.
An even more narrow path. It gets more narrow once you get saved.
Yeah.
Once you get off the broad road, then there are some Christians who aren't living according to the Word of God. So there's still a broad road that even is leading to eternal life, where most don't want to serve the Lord, although he might be saved. And so there's always a straight way of holiness that God calls those to who receive his son, Jesus Christ, as personal Savior. Isn't that true?
Amen.
And that thing of straight and narrow has the connotation of constricted. Mm. You ever try to go through an area that was real tight, trying to get through? Amen. Maybe it's a little narrow corridor or something. You have to just squeeze through and just press your way through. You see, as Christians, we're pressing through.
Yeah.
You see, the broad road is very easy. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people on that path.
All right.
We were on that path.
Yes,
we didn't have any restrictions. We could do what we wanted to do. But it was headed to condemnation.
Yes,
and so that's our dark path. The dark path is the broad road.
All right.
Amen. And so now we're on a narrow path that leads to a bright future. That's good, true. That's good, isn't it?
Amen.
Not a dark path, but a bright future. That's good. We're not perfect, just forgiven. That's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's our springboard. And we're going to look at a number of passages. And bear with me today, because it's on my heart. Because I think sometimes, as Christians, if we thin out, or maybe many of your family don't want to follow the Lord. I don't know. I can pray for them just like you pray for those in your family, husbands, wives, whatever the case may be. There's no discrimination. The devil doesn't discriminate. If he can keep your husband lost, he'll keep your husband lost. If he can keep your wife lost, he'll keep your wife lost. Your children, whatever the case may be. He wants to take as many to condemnation as he can.
Yes, he does.
Because he doesn't want them to come out of that dark past. But he wants their dark past to also be a dark future.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He wants the legacy to live in darkness and die in darkness and spend eternity in darkness.
Amen.
And so we pray for them. Isn't that true? That there's a narrow road and it's constricted. Amen. Don't be concerned with who is not following Jesus.
All right.
Well, let me fix it now. I want to clarify. Now, I don't mean like you said, I don't care what's happening to them.
Yeah.
When I say don't be concerned, I mean to step off the path that you're on.
All right.
Don't let that influence you. That's what I mean when I say don't concern yourself. Don't let it concern you to the point where you step off where you are to where they are and where you used to be. You can't be unsaved if you're truly saved. But we're on a straight road. Amen.
Amen.
That leads to eternal life. And so we're going to look at a number of passages today, and we're going to look at six great biblical truths. And we're going to try to move quickly, but this is important, that we stay strong in the midst of a world
that is moving diametrically in opposition to the things of the Lord. Today we're going to look at these six biblical truths that address the sin question and should cause us to appreciate more our great salvation in the midst of a world that with each passing day is spiraling more out of control and headed towards the judgment of God.
All right.
Sometimes I feel like an end time prophet. Of course, you know God doesn't have any prophets today. He has preachers, men of God, pastors. If you're a prophet, you have to be 100%. Well, I say end time. I see things unfolding around me. I see the world deteriorating around me. Mm-hmm. And what God's called me to do is warn the saints.
Yes, yes.
Apostasy is a dangerous thing. If you turn away from the things of God, you cannot be renewed again. When I say apostatize, you say, I don't believe in that Jesus Christ and all that. That stuff they taught at New Frontiers. I'm going a new way, a different way. There's no new way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm called to preach to those who sit under the hearing of my voice. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so let's look at six things that hopefully will pique your interest in terms of what God desires that you should do as one living in times like these.
All right.
They're not going to get better. The times are not going to get better. I hate to maybe burst your bubble. But I have to tell you what thus saith the Lord. According to the word of God, things will wax worse and worse. The conflicts and things you're taking that are taking place around you. But don't be discouraged.
All right.
Or what's happening around you. Trust Jesus. Amen. Right. Isn't that true? Number one, God saves people before the foundation of the world. You got to know that. You got to be focused on that. If you know Jesus, your security in Christ, it's a done deal. Right. Amen. You're as good as being in heaven as being there. Amen. Mm-hmm. Because it was in God's mind. The Bible makes a powerful but somewhat confusing proclamation. This may seem confusing. That before the world began, God foreordained who would be saved. God up in heaven. Before God even put the planets in place, he knew that you would come to know his son Jesus. But yet you had a will to choose or reject.
Right.
It's mind-boggling. Don't try to wrap your mind around it. It's too heavy. It's too deep. Just accept that it's true. That God chooses, yet in the time you must choose and receive it. Because if it wasn't all of God, then it couldn't happen.
All right.
Isn't that true? There's nothing in you that would desire to be saved. Yet in a moment of time, you must choose to be saved. Now, even in the expression of it, it appears confusing. All you have to do is follow God's instructions and believe on Christ. If you've done that, you're in. And so it's not because of what we do, but because of what he did. It's not because of what we do or don't do. Isn't that true?
All right. Amen.
But it's what he did. He sent Christ to die for our sins. This does not mean that God condemns those who are lost. You got to be careful with that.
All right.
That God condemns people who are lost. No, people condemn themselves for rejecting Jesus, your family members. People are lost because they refuse to believe on Christ. God never condemns people who deserve to be saved. There are none. He only saves some people who deserve to be condemned. That's the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Point two, the law of life and death. The law of life and death. In the beginning of time, God set the framework for life and death. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
And men have had to choose between life and death ever since the garden, the fall in the garden.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You didn't know that at a certain point. If you're here today, sitting under the hearing of my voice, the sound of my voice, and you know Jesus, you came to a crossroad at some point and you choose between the death that you were in, the spiritual death, and the life that God called you to walk in through faith in Christ. And if you made that decision, it was foreordained by God before the world began. What a marvelous thing indeed. And it began in the garden. It began with a forbidden tree and instructions for our foreparents, Adam and Eve. Obey and live, or disobey and die.
All right.
Amen. And there was a tree of life as well. But they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil first. And of course, God had to ban that tree. We're going to look at that, the tree of life, lest they have eaten of it and live eternally in sin, having fallen first by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the tree of life, and we'll close out with that, and we'll see how it all comes together by the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
So obey and live, disobey and die. Do you know that in the garden there was a tree of life, and that today there is a tree of life?
All right.
His name is Jesus.
All right.
Amen. You partake of that tree and you'll live. You reject that tree and you'll die. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's God's grace. Point three, the origin of our spiritual condition. The origin of our spiritual condition. We're looking over some things that we've covered many times, but it's very important that we remain secure in this. It's like a general that goes over a military plane. The troops will say, oh, Jerry, you're going over that again? I mean, we know this thing like the back of our hands. As the world deteriorates, you need to be sure about who you are and whose you are. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our foreparents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God's divine command, ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and sin and death entered the human experience for every person that has followed them to this very moment in time. Isn't that true? Point four, the reality of a universal birthright. The reality of a universal birthright. The reality of a universal birthright, one that everyone has. Every person that's ever been born, whether black or white, Hispanic, doesn't make any difference, or any other ethnic group, is born in sin because of the original sin of Adam, the federal head of the human race. Everyone is born in sin. That's what's wrong with the world. We know what's wrong with the world. We know what's wrong with the world. Someone may ask you, what's wrong with the world? You say, I know what's wrong with the world, but I can't fix it.
All right.
We know what's wrong with the world. We can't fix it. Only God can fix what's wrong with the world. He does it one person at a time. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true? God's not fixing the world. It's condemned. But he fixed lost people in the world who are trapped in sin as we once were. We once had a dark past. But God has given us a bright future.
Amen.
And therefore, even though the world is falling apart, topsy-turvy, gas go up one day, down the next day. Amen. My wife was telling me the other day. She said, honey, what, another 5 cents? we've been filling up with $30, $40 for the last few weeks, maybe a month. I don't know how long it's been. And it's like, she appeared like she wanted to cry. You know, it was sad, you know. And Brother Bill was talking about it as well.
Yeah.
That we like filling that tank out with less money, don't we?
Yes.
Amen. And so when it goes up a few pennies, we get nervous. We said, it's going to be back to 350 soon. And so I just have one other thing to say to you from the Lord. Enjoy it while you can. Amen.
Yeah.
He might bless us. Then thank the Lord. Are you thankful? Amen. I know I am. Amen. Praise God. But let it last a little bit longer, Lord. Amen. Praise God. So there's universal birthright. Can you see the deterioration of the world around you? It's deteriorating, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you about this before. I'm reiterating the point. That Maryland is poised to pass legislation for assisted suicide. That's not of God.
Yeah.
Your life is in the hands of the Lord. We talked about that. Isn't that true?
Mm-hmm.
You have loved ones. And they say, well, I can't take it anymore. And to get a doctor to come. No. That's murder. But it'll be legal. And it'll lead ultimately to something called euthanasia, which is very similar. That's where the government can legislate the death of those who are no longer useful in society. You got a grandparent or parent or whatever, and they no longer at work, and they receive the Social Security benefits. They might have a law decree where if you're over a certain age and you aren't productive and you aren't doing this, you know, you can't work a part-time job doing something, you know, to benefit society, then what we're going to do is we're going to assign a death warrant for you.
Yeah.
We're going to legally take your life because you're counterproductive against society. And people will go for it because they will get benefits from it.
Yeah.
You know, taxes will go there and all kinds of things will happen as a result of being able to euthanize those who are too old to be productive.
All
right. See, that's where the society is headed. That's demonic. Legalized drugs. You ever thought they were legalized drugs? We were talking about that in the back room, the brothers.
Yeah.
Legalizing a drug, Brother Graves, this is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
It's bad without drugs being legalized.
Yeah.
It's bad with illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think it's going to be with legal drugs?
Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
Legalizing drugs is a dangerous thing.
Yes, it is.
Dangerous.
Yes, it is.
And also, same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Male and female created he them. Isn't that true? He created a male and female. That's what God created for procreation. But these are man's ideas empowered by the devil. That's why the world is going down. It's not the world per se, but it's people who don't know the Lord. Do you know the longer you live, the less people that know the Lord, the worse the world will get?
Isn't that, that's why TV has changed. You got profanity on TV. They have profanity on TV at prime time. Remember this year? You have late night before you think you say certain things. Now prime time, and my wife was looking at, we were looking at us doing something. They were cursing on the TV as well, 8 o'clock. I mean, it was one of those police shows or something. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That's the way the world is headed. That's the kind of world that we find ourselves in. It's going to deteriorate more. So we need to be prepared to try to bring as many in as we can. That's what the pastor's job is. That's what a preacher's job, a minister's job, to focus on this truth. Then we just gather our loved ones in. Christ could come at any moment. And they'll be found wanting if they die without Christ. Amen? They even have something new. Brother Bill was talking about this in the back. I heard this on TV. I don't know if you...
Yeah.
Where you can order liquor online. You hear that?
Yeah.
I guess it's called liquor.com. I don't know. Can you imagine? Would you ever thought that? Do you know the implications of that? That young people can get someone in the house to just go to the door... And they said, oh, check your ID. How's that going to work? That's the enemy trying to bring more young people into alcohol abuse.
Yeah.
I know they're going to misuse that. See, because we go into a restaurant or, not a restaurant, a store, whatever the case may be, liquor store.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the ID, and you know they have to check it out. And has to. Those people on those delivery trucks are not going to be checking ID like that. Liquor.com. Yeah, ordering a fifth of Jack Daniels like you'd order a pepperoni pizza from Papa John's.
Yeah.
What the world coming to? To an end. That's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you see, this is a plot of the enemy.
Yeah.
And even people, do you know, who maybe had problems. Remember I talked about being delivered, dark past, everybody had a dark past, and how we now have a bright future. Some people in their life before Christ may have participated in, intoxicants.
Mm-hmm.
Some people used to drink when they're out in the world. Don't raise your hand. Don't say amen. Maybe you went out to clubs, different thing. You were going to cabarets, and these are top chef liquors, and you know, they call them all, what do you call it? A free setup. So, we're going to talk about all that. But anyway, you understand what I'm saying. And so, a lot of people don't participate anymore. You know why? Because you got to go in the liquor store.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
And subject yourself to embarrassment.
Yeah.
So, that alone is a deterrent from your going back. But imagine if you can just go to the internet and order online and have it brought privately to your home. Might cause some people who were into that sin to fall. That's the devil's trick.
Amen.
But I'm telling you now, God told me to tell you this.
Amen.
If that's the way you were thinking when you first heard that, and I'm not trying to say anyone here is thinking that, no one here would think that, but if that ever popped into your mind, don't forget that truck has got the name of the liquor store, and I'm just telling you right, because God will know about it anyway. But this is the way the world is headed. Amen. Let's move away from that. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
The universal birthright. Everyone's born in sin. Life's greatest mystery. Our fifth point. Life's greatest mystery. Life's greatest mystery. There's a great mystery of life. And Brother Green often talks about this, and I allude to it as well sometime when I'm preaching and teaching, and it's worth re-mentioning. This is powerful. This is why you should be thankful. The ignorance and unbelief that condemns all of mankind is one of life's greatest mysteries. Ignorance and unbelief is what condemns you. We were condemned under condemnation because we were ignorant. You say, that's not fair. How can a person be condemned for not knowing what they're doing? Because you're accountable to receive knowledge. That's who Jesus is. Jesus brings knowledge. And so therefore, ignorance is dangerous because it can condemn you. What you need is knowledge. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's a great mystery. Your loved ones don't know that.
Amen.
You can't even explain that to them because it doesn't make sense. Son or daughter, or maybe talk to a family member. I know you don't know what you're doing. You're unaware. You're operating in ignorance. You don't know the Lord. But you're still going to be held accountable for the life you're living. And if you don't accept Christ, you're going to spend eternity separated from him forever. And they look at you like, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean I don't know what I do? I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But you're talking about a different type of ignorance. You're not talking about the lack of facts.
Mm.
You're talking about the inability to appropriately evaluate a situation based on a relationship with Jesus.
All right. Mm.
That's called spiritual ignorance.
Mm.
And that's what you had before you came to know Jesus. That's what I had. And so therefore, you were involved in all kinds of activities because other people were peer pressure, and because you couldn't find anything wrong with
it. All right.
You can't find anything wrong with what you're doing until the Word of God points it out in your life. Isn't that true? I know what I'm saying is true.
Amen.
Amen. So that's a mystery that a person could, look at this. God gave me this, that a person could be eternally condemned to a place the Bible calls hell and not realize it until they find themselves there.
Amen. That's true.
If God hadn't awakened you out of spiritual death, you would have plunged into eternity, separated from God, and wouldn't have found out until you got to a place of condemnation. That's why we're excited. That's why you stay on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Stay on it. It's constricted. Yes, there are things we can't do. And really things you shouldn't want to do.
Yeah.
So when the liquor.com comes online, don't, if that was some issue that you dealt with when you were in the world, just put it completely out of your mind. Mm-hmm. Stay on that constricted path. As the devil implements more things to try to bring you off course, to stop you from coming to church, to stop you from serving the Lord, to stop you from living holy, stay online, stay on the straight and narrow. I'm going to continue to come and serve the Lord. Nobody's pulling me off course. I love my wife. My wife can't pull me off course.
All right.
I hope you don't, honey. Amen. Praise God. I need some reinforcements. Amen. Got to have some kind of unity in the household. If your wife goes south, you got a problem. Or your husband, or whatever the case may be. Okay. And our last point, the world's best kept secret from the lost. The world's best kept secret from the lost. There's a secret that the lost don't know. Here it is. The best kept secret from your loved ones, those who don't know Christ, is that they are lost and they don't know it. And that Jesus Christ is the only way to win heaven and escape hell. They don't know that. You didn't know that. You know this is true because you now know that you had no idea you were lost until you came to know Jesus.
All right. That's true.
I know that's right.
That's true.
I know Sister Tina gave them their testimony. She said, oh my God, the Holy Spirit convicted me one day. And I said, oh, you? He said, you're on your way to hell. She said, I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
That's why it's called ignorance.
Amen.
Salvation is summed up in one word, knowledge. Salvation is when Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God, takes a person who's in ignorance and darkness and unbelief and opens them to the knowledge of Jesus and the lights come on.
Yeah. Amen.
And you're saved, you're born again. You get on that narrow path.
Yeah.
What person would walk into the light and be able to maneuver where you're going will choose again to go into the darkness and have your steps impeded and fall in all kind of dangers and perils?
Amen.
What person would go out into the woods with a flashlight and be able to see your way out and then just decide to take the flashlight, just throw it down and walk in the darkness? What person would choose to walk in darkness when they have light? That's utter foolishness. And we as Christians, we have light.
Yep.
So what the Word of God basically says, don't put the light down. Now you can't, if you receive Christ, come to a place where you no longer believe.
All right.
Amen. But you can put the light under a bushel. You can put the light under a basket. Amen. You can put your own, you can dim your own light by not walking according to God's word. Amen. I don't know. This is good to me. Let's go through these points real quick. And I got to take some time with this. And we're going to look at some passages and let God's word speak. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Our first point. God saves people before the foundation of the world. You should be excited about that. Now, here's your question. This may be your question. Well, why did you save me before the foundation of the world and not my son? Not my daughter, not my husband, not my wife. Why? I don't know. Only God knows that. But you know what I do know? If God hasn't pulled your husband or your wife or your son or your daughter out of darkness, he can. Mm-hmm. Are they still alive? There's still hope for them as long as the blood still runs warm in their veins.
Yeah.
And he can pull them out just like he pulled you out.
Right.
We never lose faith. We continue to pray. Because only God can bring knowledge.
That's right.
You can't bring knowledge to yourself.
No.
Because knowledge means you got to change how you live.
That's right.
That's why we want knowledge. Amen. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Romans 8, 29 and 30. God is speaking. Amen.
Mm.
Are we there? Romans chapter 8, verse 29 and 30. I'm sorry.
All right.
Amen. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not our co-equal. We aren't co-equal with Jesus. We are brethren, but he is the only begotten Son of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. And so he knew us. He knew he was going to be saved before the foundation of the world. And what should make a Christian excited, even when the world is going out of control,
yeah,
is that God knew I was going to be saved. I was going to be living at this time frame in the midst of a world like this. But my hope is not in what's going on around me, but my hope is in eternal life that lies before me.
Amen.
See, because God's told me the world's going to get worse. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, when I'm prophesying, like God spoke to me through his word and what I can see transpiring around me.
Yeah.
You can see it. And what he says is, prepare the people for what is to come. Amen.
Amen.
I'm sure that Noah warned all those people,
yes,
his family members, and those who were under the hearing of his voice as he was striking the blow with that hammer every day for 120 years. And then none of them listened. And maybe he had a following initially. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. And maybe just faded away. So, man, I've been working this book for 75 years. I quit. Isn't that possible?
Yeah.
Sure. I walked away and stood with the crowd mocking him.
Yeah.
But see, when God closed that door that no man could open, nobody was mocking anymore.
That's right.
Because they realized that what thus said the Lord was true. He said it was going to rain. That was the word of God.
That's right.
That was his only message. Amen. And so we find it's very true that God knew us before the world began. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, in other words, he foreknew, and then he had to put you in a position where you would be receptive to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You would be receptive to the gospel. Amen. He worked the whole thing out.
Amen.
You didn't just come to believe on Jesus on your own. Mm-hmm. Why would somebody lost desire to be saved? There's nothing in you that would desire to be saved. But God works that whole thing out. But yet, when the calling came, you had to make a choice to believe it. But yet God already knew it and foreordained it. Worked it out. All the things in your past, dark things, all the situations in your life, he worked them all out. So it will lead you to a place where you bow the knees of your heart to Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good news, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. And so it says, them he also called us at the point in time, and when we called them, he also justified. Made us right before himself. We're right before God.
Amen. Yes, he did.
Don't worry about what people say about you.
Well,
tell them you're not perfect. You're just forgiven. People try to mock you and say, oh, I see what you did. You don't do that sometimes. You may see you doing something. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you just tell him you're not perfect, just forgive. And when we justified, then we justified him, we also glorified. We are, it says he also glorified. We're not glorified it yet, but God looks at it as a done deal.
All right.
You're as good in heaven now as being there.
All right.
That's your hope. That's your hope in a world that's gone mad.
Mm-hmm.
That the devil is working through the hearts and minds of people. We're in a high school or whatever, they're after a basketball game, and young people are shooting each other.
Yeah.
Because they have no hope. There's only hope in Jesus.
Amen.
He's the only one who can take a dark past and turn it into a bright future. He's the only one that can forgive your sins. Amen.
Amen.
The law of life and death. Look very quickly at Genesis 2, 16 and 17. Very quickly. And we'll go out to the word to speak as we move through these points. I want you to make sure you get these points down and look at them again when you get home. Amen. Look at them before the news and after the news, because you definitely gonna need them after the news. Hey, man, you need to have some confidence. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of what? Of every tree of garden thou mayest what? Freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt what? Surely die.
Yeah.
He said they would die, and they died. And death passed after everyone. You know what death creates in every person that's born? I've already told you. Ignorance.
Yes, it does.
You were born ignorant.
Yeah.
You didn't become more enlightened towards spiritual truth as you got older.
All right.
You grow up in the ignorance that you're born in until you come to know Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
And so that's because of Adam and Eve, the sin of Adam and Eve. And so before the foundation of the world, God knew that you would believe.
All right.
Mm. You should be excited about that.
Amen.
I know I am.
Amen.
Excuse me.
Amen.
Turn over to the next chapter, 324, and then we'll go to our third point and hasten to our conclusion. Genesis 3:24. There was also another tree. They could have eaten and left that tree first. But the devil didn't want them to eat of that tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's the tree of life. to eat of that tree, they're going to live forever. He said, eat of this tree first. Well, I guess if he had some more time, he'd have gotten to eat of that tree. But he wanted to eat of that tree that would condemn them first. The one that God said, don't eat of. He didn't say, don't eat of the tree of life. Did you ever see that prohibition? No, you didn't see it.
No.
It doesn't exist in the Word of God. Are we there? Genesis 3:24 says, so he drove out the man, and he placed in the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That will give them eternal life. But they chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil doesn't tell complete lies, just little half-truths. Well, that's all right. A lie. Amen. He said you won't surely die. That's what he said to Eve, I think, in Genesis 3:4. He said, you will not surely die. Amen. Mm-hmm. And she didn't. She died. They died instantly spiritually, but not instantly physically. They lived some hundreds of years later. You can see that from Genesis chapter 5 and around that area. Mm-hmm. Adam lived like 930 years. And we talked about that before. And so we understand that they wouldn't know good and evil. I'm going to ask you a question. Why are people able to do evil? You think it's a trick question. Mm-hmm. You know why people are able to do evil? They don't know good, and they know what? Evil. People do what they know. You come into the world with a disposition, a predisposition towards doing evil.
Amen.
People that don't know God, separate from him, do evil. People in ignorance do evil. They're ignorant of good. That's what you're ignorant of.
Amen.
You're totally ignorant of good, and you're totally knowledgeable about evil.
Amen.
That's why people do it on a regular basis, some more than others. Amen. And so you couldn't do evil if you what? Didn't know evil.
All right.
So the devil wasn't lying.
Yeah.
But they came to know something they didn't really want to know.
Yeah.
Amen. Isn't that true? And so at a point in the future, when we go to the presence of the Lord, guess what? You know why you won't be able to sin anymore in the eternal realm?
Because
you won't know what? Evil. God will take away the former things be paid. He'll take away your knowledge of evil and replace it eternally with good.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, there's a choice thing going on.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And people choose, and those who are lost only choose evil, but those who are saved can choose evil or good. Amen?
Amen.
And so God says, choose good, choose righteousness, choose holiness. Okay, let's look at our third point. We're going to move. But this is good. I want you to keep this. Don't throw this message away if you, not you would throw any away, but pile them up somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll put this one on top. Number, point three, the origin of our spiritual condition. Romans 5:17-18. Make sure you get these points down. These are important. Romans 5:17-18. Okay. I may move before you so we can move hastily to our conclusion, but I want to make sure you get all of these. Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's who? Adam.
Yeah.
He sinned into God. Much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. You see, death came by Adam. He's the origin of the spiritual condition of everyone that comes crying into the world,
yeah,
of which you were one. You were born in ignorance and unbelief just like everyone else. Black, white, black, doesn't make any difference what your culture or creed.
Amen.
You were born ignorant of God, although you may have done, amen, quote, some what you thought were some good things. But there really is no good that a person can do apart from Christ. Because even your motivations, the motivations of your heart, are evil apart from God, even when they look good on the surface. Amen?
Amen.
And so you can't really do anything good until you do the first good thing. God gives you the ability to do that first good thing, which is to receive,
amen,
his son Jesus.
Amen.
Because he already foreordained before the world began that you will believe. And what you're supposed to do is, even though you don't understand the free will of man and the sovereignty of God and all of that, that the two run parallel, they never intersect. God chooses, but at a point in time you have a will and you choose, but you can't try to make them fit.
Yeah.
You can't,
yeah,
make them intersect each other. They go side by side. Both are true. The Bible teaches both. But guess what? In your finite mind, you will never be able to understand how it works in the mind of God.
All right.
That God chooses, but at a point in time, you must choose.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. But the Bible teaches that both are true. And what you're supposed to be thankful for in the midst of a world like this, thank you, Jesus, for choosing me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for taking me out of it. Only God can take you out of the ignorance of unbelief and change your dark path to a bright future.
Yes.
That's what's wrong with your loved ones. So what you want to pray for them, not that they will change their behavior, although you want them to do that. Pray that God will change their hearts,
yes,
that they will be receptive to receive Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know you want them to stop that bad behavior.
Yeah.
If you can pray till you're blue in the face, amen, they can't do it. They don't have a desire to do it.
That's right.
Did you stop your bad behavior before you came to know Jesus? No. You did everything you were big and bad enough to do. Amen. Isn't that true? Until the Holy Spirit corralled you, arrested you, put handcuffs on you. Amen. And took you into a way to a place of holiness. Amen. The Holy Spirit locked you up to set you free. Good God up in heaven. I know that's a year. You didn't catch that, did you? Amen. No one's ever locked up to be set free. You're locked up to be put into prison. When God arrests you out of sin, he sets you free to live holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
yeah, Holy Ghost paddy wagon. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Have you ever been in the Holy Ghost paddy wagon? I hope that you have. Amen.
Paddy wagon.
Holy Ghost paddy wagon. Brother Green said, yeah, write that down. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's look at this. The origin of our spiritual condition. Amen. Powerful. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. We now have eternal life because we believed on Jesus. And that's good news. You should be excited about it. Don't worry about what's going on to the left or the right, the pew in front of you, or should I say pews in front of you. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Just be thankful that you know Jesus.
Amen.
If God calls you to eternity today or tomorrow, you're going into the presence of the Lord. Not because you're so good, because God before the foundation of the world foreordained that you would spend eternity with him. Amen. And so you pray for your loved ones, they might receive the same. Amen. Okay, point four, the reality of universal birthright. Psalm 51:5, we won't turn there, but you can just write it down. We know it, probably can quote it. That we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity, according to the psalmist. Isn't that true? We're born that way. We're born with a dark past before. You haven't even got a life yet. But you already got a dark past before you even start crawling.
Amen.
And you know you got a dark past, or babies have dark past. Carol has some grandchildren, amen, newborns. And you can see that they there's something dark going on there, amen. Sometimes you think they're having accidents in the Pampers on purpose, amen. Isn't that true? And that they're crying on purpose, amen. Amen. Well, they're not really doing that, but I don't think they are anyway. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm going to see if I can get Grandma to come in here and see what she's going to do this time. You know.
Yeah.
And so we understand that sin is bound up in a newborn.
Amen.
I used to give little Brandon things. He'd take it and throw it on the floor. Put the food, throw it on the floor. Can you understand that sin is bound up before they even begin to crawl or walk?
Yeah.
It's in there. And at some point, you have to come to know Jesus.
Amen.
And you know what?
Amen.
Earlier, the better.
Yes.
All of us can conclude that we wish we had come to know Christ earlier.
Yes. Amen.
Oh, I know that's true.
Yes.
But everyone has a past, some worse than others.
Yes.
If you don't have a past, you're still in the past. You got to think about that now. Go home and think about that. Amen. Because if you are saved, you don't have that past of sin anymore. You now have a bright future that leads to eternal life. Amen. Isn't that true?
Amen.
Amen. That's good news. So Psalm 51:5, we're born in sin. Point five. We're coming in the stretch. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this is good. We got to receive this. So we can be confident, even though we aren't perfect, you know, because your loved one's going to tell you. They got to find something wrong with you. Amen. They got to find something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Amen. To justify themselves.
All right.
So they're watching you every, and maybe they'll come over the house and they'll say, did you take the trash out? Is this day trash day? You say, yes, trash day. Well, I thought you was a Christian. You didn't take your trash out. Anything, you know.
Yeah.
Just, now you probably found this to be true. You have to find something wrong. And you know what you say? Well, you didn't take the trash out when you forgot it, or maybe intentionally didn't do it. I know I didn't take the trash out. I'm not what? Perfect. Just forgive it. Amen.
Yes.
We aren't going to do everything perfect. And so you tell your loved ones, I'm not perfect. I'm just forgiven. And you can be forgiven also by receiving Christ as personal Savior.
Amen.
And you can make the same proclamation. Okay, life's greatest mystery, 1 Timothy 1:12-15. And we're coming in. We're going to land. But I want to give all this to you. It's good. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Apostle Paul speaks powerful. We can all probably fit our testimony in here. Isn't that true? 1 Timothy 1:12-15. Are you there? And it says, and it reads as follows, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he accounted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Ministry just means servants. If you're a Christian, you're a servant. Some ministries are public, some are not. Some have a lay ministry. It says, Paul was apostle. I'm a pastor. Brother Gray's assistant pastor. These are positions that we have in the kingdom building program. But we all on level ground in Christ. Isn't that true? We all be called to a ministry. We all have gifts. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious to the church. Amen. He was killing Christians. But I obtained mercy because I did it what? Ignorantly in unbelief. Mm-hmm. But you know what Paul realized, like I realize in even my own life, you may realize in your life, that your ignorance was going to send you to hell. Mm. See, that's heavy, isn't it? Amen. He said, well, I thought I was known in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. That's why I say you can't put the two together. You got to put the two. You can't put the two together. You can't put the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. You chose to receive Christ, and therefore you have eternal life, even though God knew it before the foundation of the world. But it's nothing to play with. The sovereignty of God and the free will of man. It's too big for you. Just believe and accept and receive. And so he was ignorant. So ignorance is not anything to boast in, is it? If you're ignorant, I've used this illustration before. That there's a train coming down the tracks. Could be a light rail or could one of those large locomotives. And you step on the gas and you put in front of it. Will your ignorance save you? Of course not.
Yeah.
Ignorance doesn't. It's easy to see in that physical illustration that ignorance does not save.
All right.
Ignorance is dangerous. What you need to do is what? When you pull off, to look and have what? Knowledge and see the train coming and put that thing in reverse and back off the tracks.
Amen. Amen.
Ignorance condemns, knowledge saves.
Amen.
Isn't that true? And so it is also spiritually with Christ. You're on the tracks and hell is bowing down on you. Mm. And you need Jesus. You need to put that thing in reverse, receive Jesus, and back off that track before hell bowls over you. Amen. And that's what we've done. We received Christ. We had ignorance. We were in ignorance, doing things ignorant and unbelief. That's what Paul said. He thought he was protecting Judaism.
Yeah.
He wasn't so much against God, but here's Jesus coming around trying to change the Judeo faith of the Jews.
Yeah.
And so he thought he was doing God a favor by getting rid of these people who were against the true religion of the Jews, mm-hmm. of the nation of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now he was wrong, and I might say he was what? Dead wrong. And so were we in our sin, in our ignorance. And it says here, and the grace of our, look what God's grace does for ignorance. And the grace of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord, was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. See, Christ gives us knowledge. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
Amen.
Last point, the world's best kept secret from the lost. Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9-10. Are you there? It says this is the best kept secret from the lost. It was the best kept secret from you in your lostness and darkness. But thank God now you have a bright future through faith in Jesus. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Once you believe and you confess him, go ahead and read a few more verses. For the scripture saith, whosoever believe on him shall what? Not be ashamed, amen, or disappointed. Have you been disappointed in the Savior since you received him?
No.
For there's no difference between a Jew and a Greek, or Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Look what your loved ones needed, or need, who are lost. For whosoever, put your loved one's name in there, pray for them, shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And let's get to the bright future, and we're done. Revelation 22:1-5. Put this under there. This is important. You don't remember any other verses. Remember this one. This is your bright future. Revelation chapter 22 and verses 1 through 5. Are you there? Amen. We close out. This is paradise restored, our future hope. Amen. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb of God. Heaven, our future home, our bright future. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there what? The tree of life. Remember that? Mm-hmm. From Genesis 3:24, they were barred from it, and they were restored in the eternal realm. Amen. And so therefore, there's eternal life for all those who come into the presence of the Lord through faith in Jesus, which bare 12 manner of fruit and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. In other words, health forever. No arthritis, no rheumatism, no cancer, no diabetes, none of that. Peace and joy forever. And it said, there should be no what? No more curse. The world is bad. Your TV presents this bad news, ISIS crisis and every other thing, shootings, murders, robberies. All these things are paraded before you each day on the TV. Mm-hmm. Why? Because there's a curse on this world because of the fall of Adam. And the only ones who have found victory and been delivered from the curse are those who know Jesus. That's why you should be thankful. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. We're going to serve the Lord for all eternity. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. In other words, perfect communion and perfect likeness. Like number 5, verse 5. And there shall be no night there, and they shall need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. What a beautiful, beautiful future. How do we reconcile or find agreement with the sovereign will of God, who chooses before the foundation of the world some to be saved, but does not choose others to be lost? We cannot. We'll never understand that in time, only in eternity. But God's word clearly teaches that those who are lost condemn themselves by the rejection of Christ. And what does it say about us who have believed on Christ with the dark, sinful lives that we lived before we were saved? That it's all by God's grace and his mercy that we have received eternal life. Yet at a moment in time, we believe and we're saved. Then in a moment of time, the darkness and the sin of our life before Christ has been eternally erased and replaced with a bright future in heaven. Time without end. Our sins have been cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west, and there's a sign posted for those who seek to bring up our past sins that reads, "No fishing allowed, all sins forgiven." We thank God for Jesus. Let us pray. Amen. Eternal, most gracious Father, give you all praise and honor and glory. We thank you, Father, for so great salvation. We've taken some time to look at these passages in your word, revisiting some of our familiar scriptures. Father, looking at the world that we see around us, that as Christians, we need to be confident in the great deliverance that we received through your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we did have a dark past. We were headed for condemnation. But now you who foreknew us before the foundation of the world allowed us to receive your Son, Jesus Christ, in time. And now we're headed for eternal life. And for that, we are eternally grateful. And so, Father, if there should be one in our midst who has not yet received Christ, we pray for our loved ones, our family, children, husbands, wives, nieces, nephews, uncles, all those who have not yet bowed the knees of their heart to the Lord Jesus, we pray, Father, that you might touch their heart, that something we might do or say might cause them to cry, "What must I do to be saved?" They may realize that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father in heaven, and that there's no way to him but through him. And so, Father, we thank you for all blessings, great and small. Continue to guide and lead us as a church. Help us to be on the forefront, Father, as we see the world spiraling out of control all around us, that we might reach out for those who know not Christ and depart from their sin with the one who died for them, that we might have life eternal. Thank you, Father, for this message. Thank you for this word. We pray for those who have said under hearing of it, and we'll give you the praise for what it will do in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May we all stand. I thank you for indulging me for today as the word went forth, something God has put on my heart and has laid on my heart. Pray for your family. With each passing day, tell them more about Jesus. Live more like Jesus, that they might come out of ignorance into the marvelous light, that they might be able to receive life and life eternal. They are in ignorance and unbelief as you were before you met Jesus. And there may be one here, you don't know Christ. You are operating in ignorance and unbelief, and God wants to open the door. He said, "I stand at the door. Is there one? You don't know Jesus. Give your life to him. You'll never regret it. The only thing you'll regret is that you hadn't done it sooner." Is there one? If you're here and you didn't come forward, you don't know Jesus, you don't have to come forward to be saved. You can ask him to come in anytime. He'll come in. He'll save you. That's your promise. Admit your sinfulness before a holy God. And he'll give you life and life eternal, the faithfulness.